Tell me.
Something marvelous just happened to me.
What?
I woke up and the first thing I saw was you.
And I didn't turn you to stone.
No. And I didn't turn into a frog when you kissed me either. I'm glad you came back to the heat last night.
Good.
Why did you?
Mm. You know why. What time is it?
What's it matter?
I'm hungry. Hasn't anybody told you I eat like a horse?
Well, we certainly must have worked up a pretty good appetite last night. What is it? Got the blues all of a sudden?
What about Morris?
You've got to forget Morris, Chrissy.
We will work for the same paper. It's not easy.
Look, next time you see him, give him a bright smile and say, "Has tricks, Morris?" You'll get the message and look around for someone else you can make life miserable for. Why did you come to the Heath?
I don't know why you're going on about that. It was you who said choose. It was you who said the only way to end an affair was
to start another. Okay,
exactly.
But is that the only reason I'm here? Just to show Morris the thing he had going with him is over? Or is it just a tiny bit because of my own Bozier?
Your what?
Bozier. What's funny?
That's the first time I've heard anybody speak French with an Australian accent.
Yeah, sure. It's always good for a laugh.
Oh, sorry.
But can we forget the accent for a moment? Do you like me for myself?
I like you very much.
That's what I wanted to hear. And the next one to mention Morris Gill puts a pand in the swear box.
Liv!
Kitchen!
Oh, darling, I can't find Jules White's socks. Ah, between the potatoes.
Well, you can't do everything single-handed, Peter. Anyway, it's a good excuse for putting off work.
Brought much home, will you?
Debbie's stuff for day to day. A couple of hours' worth, I should think. And I'm not in the least looking forward to it.
Oh, why not?
But I've got a dreadful feeling it's not going to be up to scratch.
Oh?
The socks are on the radiator in the living room. They weren't damp. They'd been in the airing cupboard since Tuesday, but I'm just paranoid about damp clothes.
No wonder nobody can find them. Abby! Abby, Jules' socks are on the radiator in the living room. Yes, the radiator. Yes. Good girl.
Darling, could we have less bark?
Oh, yes, of course. I was only listening with half an ear.
Mm. Oh, that's better.
No, not potatoes.
Oh, better do one more, I think, don't you? You know, Jeremy.
Mm-hmm. When are you going to collect it?
Oh, shortly. Well, I want to phone all this stuff through to Mr. Tully first.
You're not going down there later, then?
No, I don't think so. Jeremy enjoys an afternoon at the boatyard, but it isn't much fun for the girls.
So what are you going to do?
I thought I'd play it by ear today, see what the weather does. We could go to that new ice cream parlour in the High Street, the one with 57 flavours and the hot chocolate sauce.
Stop it, you're making my mouth water.
Well, you could come too.
I could, couldn't I?
Hmm. Do you good, take a break for a few hours. And it'd be nice if we could all go together.
It's a date.
Brilliant.
As Jeremy would say.
Now, what do I do? Phone Mr. Tully or...
I should. Get Mr. Tully over with first.
Yes. Yes, I think I will.
Is it good news or bad?
It's good, I think. We'd certainly get a loan, provided the Marine Mortgage people approved of the grand plan. I don't see any reason why they shouldn't. I've costed the whole thing very carefully, and it certainly looks as if it's going to work.
All you've got to do is talk Mr. Tully round, then.
Well, I shouldn't think that's going to take much doing, Liz. He's not in any hurry to make a decision, and quite right, too, but he's had a few days now to mull things over, and I reckon he'll have seen the light. All he'd have to do is find one-third of the deposit. Let's say 9,000. Not a lot.
Oh, doesn't sound like peanuts to me.
No, it's a very small capital outlay for starting a brand-new business.
Tully's boatyard.
Oh, morning, Mr. Tully. It's Peter Tyson here. Listen, good news.
Come in.
Morning.
Oh, hello, Sophie.
Hey, that's my job.
Hmm?
Cleaning the windows. I'm the Mrs. Mop in this house, remember?
Mrs. Mop? My word, that takes me back.
We had a cleaning lady at home my dad always called Mrs. Mop.
Mm-hmm.
Came one of those silly family phrases, you know, like the doctor was always Mac the Knife and the bank manager was Mr. Squeeze.
Yeah, my mother always used to call the hairdressers the Chamber of Horrors.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny how these things stick, though.
Well, it's still my job, though.
Hmm?
Cleaning the windows. Instead of a rent increase.
Good heavens, no. Not these big ones. They're man's work.
Well, I could wring out the leather for you.
No, really.
Oh, I'd like to, honest. It's like a morgue upstairs. Rob and Dickon are both out, so...
If you're sure.
I wouldn't have offered if I wasn't.
In that case, thank you. I'd be most grateful.
Right. Up your ladder, then.
Get up them stairs.
Oh, pardon?
Another catchphrase. Oh. Can't seem to get away from them this morning.
How did things go last night?
The Skywatch, you mean? Mm. Very interesting. I'm afraid Arthur was disappointed, though.
What, no UFOs?
No, he was quite cut up about it.
That's probably why I only got a grunt from him just now as we passed on the stairs.
You can count yourself lucky. I took him up a cup of tea earlier on and he just turned over. Mind you, we did have a late night.
Well, how long were you on the heath?
Well, dusk to dawn.
You must be bonkers.
No, I found it extremely interesting. Not that I believe in these things, of course, not for one moment, but it was out of the ordinary. And I enjoyed the company. Oh, would you ring this out, please?
Right.
Well, not for one moment, but it was out of the ordinary. And I enjoyed the company. Oh, would you ring this out, please?
Right.
There was one chap there called Phil, never caught his surname, member of Donald's UFO group. Now, he was a real believer. Been skywatching everywhere he had, and he was full of yarns, you know.
He'd actually seen UFOs, had he?
He'd done better than that. He'd seen little green men. Only they weren't. They were 7 feet tall and glowed.
That's amazing.
I don't think he was having us on. But I did catch him out on a slight discrepancy. Mm. 1 minute, he said he'd heard their approaching footsteps. And the next minute, he said they had no legs. I didn't say anything, of course. It was their night, after all. I got that leather ready.
Coming up.
Mm. It's your night off again tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, well, I suppose it's no use asking you out for a meal to make up for last week.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
No, I understand completely after what happened last week. Not that it's likely we'd meet Mr. Digby again. Lightning never strikes twice in the same place, but...
Look, I know I'm being silly.
We could go to a show, perhaps. I'm not sure what's on, but if you care to glance at the entertainments page... I do it myself, only I seem to have mislaid my spectacles. No, you'd rather not.
Now, I could cook a meal for you here. I mean, if you like. I'm no Rob Pengelly, but...
It wouldn't be much of a night out for you.
Oh, I don't know. I think it might be rather nice.
The sandwiches have gone already. Now they've descended like a plague of locusts on the chocolate cake.
You'd think they'd be sick after all that ice cream.
Darling, God made children's stomachs able to withstand almost anything. Remember Jill after she just started crawling? She ate everything inside.
Mm. And buttons to soap powder.
And Thrive. Would you like another cup of tea?
Oh, yes, please.
I'll pour it. You get on with your work.
No, I'll do it. I'll be glad of the break.
Oh, like that, is it?
Worse. Debbie Francis' copy is awful.
Oh, Lord. You're going to have to do more rewrites.
Oh, rewrites aren't going to solve anything. I can't go on doing rewrites for her anyway. Here you are.
Oh, thanks. No, well, of course, she has got her baby to think about as well.
You don't have to tell me that. I know the demands a baby makes, even when there are two of you to cope with it. But Debbie did want to come back to work early, and she did say she wanted to edit day to day. And now for 2 weeks running, she's messed it up.
So what are you going to do?
Could be me, of course. Perhaps I'm expecting too much. Perhaps I'm getting harder to please. You'd tell me, wouldn't you?
Hmm? What?
Well, if I started getting bitchy.
Oh, of course. And you're not, darling.
Only it's not easy. I've got responsibilities to Milton, to the public, to the staff. Oh, darling, I'm sorry. This is all you need, isn't it? Me crying on your shoulder. As if you hadn't got enough problems of your own already.
Well, they're not really my problems. They're Mr. Tully's. It just seems such a shame that he should decide to retire when there's a perfectly good alternative business right on his doorstep. The holiday cruises would pay, darling. I know it. I've been through all the figures. I've checked and double-checked, and it all works.
Made up his mind, has he?
Well, that's what he said on the phone. He said he discussed it at great length with Mrs. Tully, and they decided to sell up and go back to Tyneside with regret.
Well, darling, if it's what they want...
But it's not what they want. It's what they've settled for. He's afraid to take the risk.
What a pity.
Yes. Oh, he's
a nice man. Typical, actually.
What?
Well, on the phone this morning. He was apologizing to me. He said he knew he was letting me down. How keen I was to get the whole thing off the ground.
You were, too, weren't you?
Well, you know me, once I get my teeth into something. And I was more than willing to take care of the financial side. All Tully had to do was to buy in the boats.
Hello? Anybody home?
Good afternoon.
I'm looking for Mr. Tully.
You found him.
Well, hi, Mr. Tully. I'm Brad Pulbright.
Yes, Mr. Pulbright, of course. Mr. Tyson told me to expect you. How do you do?
Fine, thank you.
I understand you want me to overhaul your boat.
That's a general idea.
Right.
Well, you're prepared to take it on, then?
I'd be more than pleased.
When shall I have her brought over?
Any time you like. And as you see, we're not exactly brimming over with work at the moment. As a matter of fact, your boat may well be Tully's swan song, so to speak.
I see.
Mr. Tyson wanted me to go into the holiday cruiser business. Hiring out, you know. Maybe he told you.
No.
He was full of it. But I'm not up to learning new tricks, so I'll do your boat for you, and then me and the missus will put ourselves out to grass.
You're a young man, Mr. Tully.
Oh, you're as young as you feel. And today I feel like Methuselah. I don't like letting people down. I've got two workmen I'll have to lay off. Good workers. They deserve better than the dole. And I know I'm a sore disappointment to Mr. Tyson, after all he's done for me.
Like what?
Oh, VAT, income tax, everything. I'm useless at that. Don't understand figures, never have. Always was in a mess with me paperwork till Mr. Tyson came along.
And he helped you out?
He very near took the whole thing over once or twice. I blessed that first day he came here. And now there's all this work he's done on the holiday cruiser thing. But, like I said, it's not for me.
Peter believes it could work out, though, doesn't he?
Seems to. But I'm afraid we'll never find out.
One night tomorrow. Time to hit the road. In all you can say, Cressy. Now what made me fall for you in the first place?
I'm so good at conversation.
Got it in one. Thank you for last night and for today. It's been great. But now it's time to hit the road.
Gray.
Yeah?
Have you got far to go?
About halfway up the Amazon. The crocs don't worry me too much. It's a piranha fish. Insatiable little swan owl. Nibble, nibble, nibble. And of course it's rainy season.
I was being serious.
Far enough. I'll share this dingy flat with two other Aussies on the fringe of Chalk Farm.
That doesn't sound very inviting.
You offering me a choice?